Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today, we are going to be expanding on the basics again. Today, we're going to be talking about movement. And moving your dog properly for its breed is a critical piece of success in the show ring. The only way the judge can know that your dog floats like a butterfly around the yard is if you can make it do it in the ring. So this is as important as anything else you'll do at the dog show. We're going to talk about a couple different things, actually three, down and back, the go-round, and then we're going to talk about equipment, because the equipment you use is going to differ by breed, by individual within the breed, by what you prefer. All of those things go into a happy performance. So, start with down and back. We're going to have reviewed episode 3. Hopefully you reviewed episode 3 before you got here. Episode 3 is where we started talking about the basics of movement. All right, so go back and review that. Think about your 1, 2, 3, go, right? Okay, that's how you get your dog to be collected before it goes on its down and back. Line up with the judge, line up the dog with the judge, right? Judge does not want to see you from behind. It wants to see the dog from behind. Same goes for coming towards him, right? Very important. So now, what's our next step? This is, we're going to expand on these basics. My strong recommendation in this case is that video did not kill the radio star. Video made the dog show star. So here's what I mean by that. You can't see what your dog's doing on the down and back. Is it too wide in front? Is it flipping its pasterns? Is it popping its hocks? Your dog can be doing any number of strange and wonderful things. That's what the judge sees that you aren't taking into account when you're upset because you're not winning. So I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, this is a story, once again, a story on me. I had a dog that I was showing of a breed I will not describe. Names have been changed to protect the innocent. So basically, I had taken this dog on from a client that I expected was going to send me a pretty decent dog based on what I knew about their dogs and my interaction with them previously. And she was pretty, and I took her on a nice set of shows where there were judges that I expected would really appreciate the quality of bitch she was. And I was not making any progress. She was losing, and I just could not, for the life of me, figure out what in the world was going on. Right up until one of those judges pulled me aside and said, "Laura, have you looked at this bitch moving?" I said, "Oh dear." And I had made a very grave and tactical error as a handler that is something that happens to all of us at one point or another. And I had not really watched someone else move this dog or had video of the dog being moved. And she was doing some really terrible things with her movement and didn't deserve to win. But I couldn't tell from the end of the leash. So I am going to strongly recommend you use that cell phone for something other than selfies. Have a friend make a video of you moving the dog down and back. A good, solid video that you can see what the dog's legs are doing. Know what the movement standard is for your breed. Know what they're supposed to do with their legs based on the standard. Typically, the legs should go in a straight line. They should not cross over. They should not touch in the rear, for example. Okay, there's lots of movement faults that we may or may not see in our dogs that may be affected by their mindset,
when they're in the ring, if they're nervous or if they're amped up, can do terrible things to them. So make sure that you have a video of that dog going down and back and then around the ring so that you have a thorough understanding of what is going on. Then, if you have to, have someone else move the dog for you so you can actually see it with your own eyes if the video isn't telling you what you need to know. Okay, next step, if you've got a problem with the movement, figure out if changing the speed can make a difference. For example, a dog that will sidewind, right? Or a crab. In other words, the back end of the dog goes off to one side or the other, and the rear legs do not follow in true fashion to the front legs. It's a pretty common movement fault that we see in the ring, and it can be corrected relatively simply. You can change the position of the collar so that the leash ring that comes as attached to the leash comes straight off the top of the dog's head, right behind its occiput. And that's where you hold the leash. It gives the dog a nice straight line to follow. Another thing that is often very useful in addressing sidewinding, for example, is slow down. Annie Clark told me this a million years ago with a wire hair pointer I was showing to her. She said, slow down, she's sidewinding. If you'll slow down, she'll go in a straight line. And guess what? She was right, as Annie Clark was so many times. So it's important to understand what your dog is doing and know how to fix it. And the only way you can do that is if you watch the dog moved by someone else or watch the dog on a video. Changing your speed, a lot of times, as I said, not just sidewinding, but other movement faults, lowering the dog's head. If you have a dog that's flailing its front around, terribly unattractive thing to see on the down and back or the go around. Many times what's happening is you're pulling that dog's head back and up further than is comfortable for it to be able to use its front in a efficient manner and keep its front feet low to the ground. So you lower your hand, you allow the dog's head to drop, and that front end will come down too, and will also allow the dog to move in a more balanced and collected way. So lots and lots of things that you can do and change to make your dog more competitive that can be solved with a simple video at ringside. Okay, next we're going to talk about the go-around, right? This is a big one. Everybody's all worried about, oh, does it have enough reach and drive, reach and drive, reach and drive. Okay, guys, tremendous reach and drive is lovely in the breeds that want to have it shown, right? This is not correct for every single breed. What is correct for your breed is outlined in the standard, and you should read the standard and know how your breed is supposed to move. And how an Akita moves is very different from how a standard Schnauzer moves. And how a Brittany moves is very different from how a Clumber Spaniel should move. Even a Kerry Blue Terrier to a Smooth Fox Terrier. All of these breeds have individual and distinct ways of going that should be demonstrated on the go-round that help describe the proper breed type. Movement and type, if you talk to anybody that's been in the sport a long time, those things are almost inseparable. Movement tells you as much about what the breed is as its head shape. So making that picture on the go-around, the dog should look the same whether it's standing or moving. Another Annie Clarkism that has been drilled into my mind over the years. And so again, watch your speed. See what happens in the video. See if the dog is not using its rear, if it's crossing over, if it's losing its top line. All of these things can happen when you're going around, and if you're going at the improper speed, if the dog is not in the proper condition, if you're holding the dog's head in the wrong place for it to be able to use itself. And these all affect your ability to win. And as much as I look at this dog out here trotting around the paddock thinking he is stunning, if he doesn't do that in the dog show ring, I can't get mad at the judge when I don't win, because he can't see the dog trotting around in the paddock. All he can see is what the dog's doing on the end of my leash. And so the only way you can know what's going on with your dog to be more competitive, get that video, get someone else to move the dog, and practice make sure you know slower, almost always is a better answer, but slower, faster, different leash position. All of these things will affect that overall picture. And the only way you can fix it is to practice. And the only way you can practice is to know what you're working with in the first place. Okay, next we're going to talk about equipment. We're going to talk about leashes and collars and what works best for you and your dog. It really doesn't matter what works best for somebody else and their dog. All I care about is what works best for you and your dog. Couple things that you can start with: basic types of collars, a chain slip collar, a really small link, smooth, fine chain slip collar, adequate to your dog's size, properly fitted to your dog, not too tight, not 6 inches too long, very good option in many cases. A nylon slip collar, same basic concept, but in varying sizes and shapes and colors and all kinds of things. And it's something that I'll frequently use with a softer dog, a dog that just really needs to have a light touch, and a chain would just be too scary for them. Those chains are very, very helpful when you're working with a dog that I like to describe as driving a Ferrari without brakes. If you put a nylon slip collar on that sort of a dog, you're not going to have as much control over the dog as you probably are going to need. And a chain slip collar can make a big difference. The third type, I guess, basic type of leash and collar setup that you can find is a Resco, or the basic slip lead that comes down and doesn't tighten up against the dog in a slip collar fashion. It's just a flat one-piece leash with no pop and release, no looseness and tightness. It's just always the same, like a flat collar. This is really, really useful when you have toy breeds, when you have a lot of the terriers, any of the dogs that you want to be able to put a neck and headset on that might be a little different than what the dog is most comfortable with. When you have a super soft dog, when you have a dog that you're concerned that they might have a fragile vocal cord or throat or windpipe or any of that area, you don't want to be pulling on that, Resco is a great solution. But again, if you put a Resco on a Weimaraner that wants to go 100 miles an hour, the Resco really isn't going to give you the control that you need to operate that particular system. So make sure that you're fitting your leash and collar setup best to the dog that you're working with. Sometimes it's going to take a little bit of trial and error for you to decide what's going to be your best collar and leash setup for each dog. And so practice at home. Once again, practice makes perfect. The only way that we're going to be able to do a great job with our dog in the ring is if we have practiced at home. So if you have any question about what type of leash and collar is going to work best, they're not that expensive. Try a couple. Maybe try it at the dog show and see what works. Borrow one, ask a vendor if you could try it on your dog and see what happens. Ask a friend that might have more than one type of collar and see if a softer collar or a firmer collar or a non-slip collar are going to make a difference in how your dog presents itself. Once again, this is what it's all about, making the best picture, and your equipment can make a huge difference in the picture that your dog is going to present. Now, everybody has a personal preference as to leashes. I personally find that to be an entirely personal preference. I don't know that it has a tremendous impact on the dog or his performance. There are a million theories about what color leash to put with what color dog and what color outfit, and as many opinions about what we call bling versus not bling on your leashes, which is, I have to tell you, a relatively new phenomena. So my suggestion, find a leash that you're comfortable with. I personally prefer leather leads because the nylon cuts my hands, but that's me, and you need to do what is most comfortable for you. Critical important part is that it's a strong leash, if you need it for a strong dog, make sure that your leash and your dog match. You don't want to put a huge heavy leash on a Chihuahua, and neither do you want to put a dental floss leash on a Mastiff. Okay, so these are kind of common sense things, but just think about that. Make sure that your leash and collar match the dog that you're showing. Whatever is going to be the most comfortable for that dog in presentation, then make sure it's the right weight and the right size for the dog that you're working with. One note of caution, this is just, again, sort of a personal recommendation that I feel pretty strongly about because, again, personal experience. Watch out for leashes that have snaps on them, your basic clip on the collar sort of leash. Just be very careful with those. It's awfully easy to hit that snap when you're not expecting it, and then suddenly your dog and your collar and your leash are not attached. Again, I've seen it happen. I have seen the results of it. So I have, over the years, found it to be my favorite to use a collar with a leash that's just a loop on the end, and I can still move that leash from collar to collar if need be, but I don't have to worry about a snap coming off in a situation that could be potentially dangerous to the dog, to other dogs, embarrassing if nothing else. So just a thought, something to look at when you're in the process of acquiring your equipment, is take a look at the leashes that are available that have just a loop end to attach to the ring on the collar, and that is primarily a safety feature. Okay, so we've done down and back, we've done go around, we've done equipment. These are all part and parcel of the presentation that you're going to make with your dog, so that what the judge sees is the picture of the standard that you're trying to present. Till next time, make sure you're watching your video and that your down and back is straight and that your go around is smooth and collected. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you on the flip side. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.